Psalm 119. It's always good to pray with others. Amen. Great way to get to know folks is to pray with them, pray for them. Psalm 119, we're going to be reading verses 25 through 32. In our study tonight, it's kind of a neat little title here, God's Gleams Amid the Gloom. Amen. Psalm 119, if you're able to, would you stand with me out of respect for the Word of God? Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. This is the fourth study here, lesson number 4 out of 22 here of this psalm. And so we'll read verses 25 through 32, as is our custom. We'll read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 32? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Father, please bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you've got your lesson there, follow along as we review. Each week we review the last lesson from the week before. We continued our study of Psalm 119 following the Hebrew alphabet, and the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet is that we know it as the word Gimel, by looking with the psalmist at finding, blank line there, finding wondrous things in God's Word. And you know what, Brother Lowell, I'm still glad there's a whole lot of wondrous things in God's Word. Amen. Every time we read it, you can find some wondrous things in there. And of course, that was verses 17 through 24. We looked at a couple bullet points here. Number one, the great opportunities in God's Word. And we looked at several things here. We talked about how verse 17, it bestows life. Okay, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy words. Then in verse 18, we said it brings light. Open thou mine eyes. And we talked about that Bible doctrine of illumination. How God illuminates. He shines light on His Word. Amen. By the way, praise God, the Bible is the only book you can read where the author sits and teaches it to you. Yeah. Amen. Because when you got saved, ladies and gentlemen, you got the Holy Spirit of God. You say, oh, Pastor, but I didn't talk in tongues. You still got the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I didn't feel cold chills. You still got the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That's God's pledge. Listen, we who first trusted Christ and then were sealed with that Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1 tells us. Amen. And so it bestows life. It brings light. Praise God. It bars loneliness. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from it. Hey, listen, we're all strangers and pilgrims. And the Word of God helps us along, doesn't it? Amen. It lets us know that, hey, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. That Jesus will always be with us. Amen. So, and then, last blank line there, it births longings in verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath for thy judgments at all times. I tell you what, you get to really reading the Word of God, you'll want to read more of it. You'll want to read it some more. Amen. And you'll want to read it some more. And then we not only talked about the great opportunities in God's Word, but we talked about, and we're seeing it more and more, ladies and gentlemen, the great opposition to God's Word. It used to be, there's always been atheists and there's always been scoffers, but I'll tell you what, Miss Barb, they're a lot more open now than they ever have been. Mocking, openly mocking God and slandering His Word. And so we saw the animosity, first of all, in verses 21 through 23. And remember, we looked at those different classes of people there. But then praise God for verse 24, because there's not only the animosity, but there's the antidote, isn't there? What's the antidote? When there's such animosity, the Word of God, and people hate you for your stand on the Word of God, what's it say? Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You always have God's Word. Always. And I mentioned old Harold and Popov, how they had written down just a tiny piece of Isaiah, and they would pass it back and forth, and they'd memorize it. And when they couldn't pass it back and forth in the communist concentration camp, they had made a tap code. And they would tap out verses to encourage. Boy, I'll tell you what, no other book does that. The Quran can't do that. The Book of Mormon can't do that, amen. The Bible, the Word of God, amen. And thank God for it. So in our text, verses 25 through 32, the psalmist is overwhelmed with grief. And some of you have been there, to be overwhelmed with grief. And thankfully, he prays. By the way, that's the best thing you can do when you're overwhelmed with grief. Just pray. Lord, please help me. You say, does God hear simple prayers like that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lord, please help me. Please help me. And so he prays. It's the first of nine prayers for God's quickening in this psalm. God's Word brings the psalmist to both realization and resolution. Okay? Realization. So we see number one, Roman numeral number one, the psalmist's realizations. He comes to some realizations here about God's Word. Okay? We have four and then a little breakdown of one. Verse 25 says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Can I say the first realization that I believe the psalmist came to is God's word brings conviction. Conviction. I appreciate it. I had a great lunch with Brother Marshall yesterday. We were supposed to go out after evening service on Sunday. I said to Brother Marshall, you got time for a bite to eat? He said, oh yeah, fine. And I went down. I said, we'll go to Bob Evans over here. And I pulled off and went left like you're supposed to go to Bob Evans. And I saw Brother Marshall, who was behind a vehicle that looked a lot like mine, and they went right. And went. Brother Marshall followed him for 20 miles up 127. Finally, the guy stopped. Brother Marshall pulled up next to him and said, that's not Brother Rich, amen. I said, well, I'd probably figure that out after about 5 miles, amen. But he followed him all. But Brother Marshall and I were talking yesterday. We had lunch yesterday, and we were talking about this. And listen, I believe this with all my heart. You have to be convicted that you need to be saved.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't care if you're five. Listen, five-year-olds can come under conviction.
That's right.
Amen. No conviction, no conversion. I believe that with all my heart. Repent and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15 says. It just means you have to. Anytime I have had the privilege to lead somebody to Christ, Brother Jeff, the last question I ask is this. Would you like to ask Christ to be your Savior? You know what? If they say no, either they didn't understand it or there's no conviction. But I'll tell you what, you ask somebody, you've gone through the simple plan of salvation, you ask them, would you like to be saved, and they're under conviction, I've seen people say yes and start crying.
Yep.
Okay? God's Word does that.
Amen.
Times, Brother Tom, where I was at the door and I stumbled and bumbled through the plan of salvation, and I'd ask that question, I said, would you like to be saved? And they said yes, and I almost said, really? But you know what? The power's not in us. It's in the Word of God. The Word of God brings conviction. Secondly, God's Word not only brings conviction, but it brings confession. in verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. God's word will bring conviction. God's word will bring confession. When I say confession, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about you going and talking to a man behind a screen. Amen? I did that as a kid so many times. Father, bless me for I've sinned. It's been 6 weeks from my last confession. And we'd go down and I used to think they were in the back with this big chart graph. And they'd say, okay, this sin, and then move this one over here. You do 5 novenas and 8 Hail Marys and 5. Listen, they're not talking about any of that. It's talking about telling God about it. Amen. He already knows. He wants to hear it from you. That's what confession is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Hey, listen, what shines the spotlight on sin? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the Word of God. The Word of God brings conviction. The Word of God brings confession. I want you to think about this. The Word of God brings consecration. To consecrate yourself. It says there in verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And he basically says here, if you'll help me to know your word, I will consecrate myself to tell others about it. And I get to thinking here, and we have just a little note here. Consider, by the way, that's 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen? Consider the example of Leviticus chapter 11. Now, we don't have time to go there, but maybe you, on your own time you can look these up. We've just got a few minutes here. The way of Leviticus 11 and God's dietary laws and restrictions for the Israelites. Now listen, folks, please don't get nervous. We're not under the dietary laws. I'm not preaching Old Testament. I'm trying to get you to understand that those dietary laws, much like the Word of God, were there for a purpose. Okay? And so Leviticus chapter 11, that God had dietary laws and restrictions for the Israelites, which led them in three, A, B, C here. A, in the way of a healthy life. Listen, God had specific animals that He did not want eaten. Okay? Now I think especially, boy, this is the one that really just really bother most Baptists, is they could not eat pork. They could not eat swine. Now listen, by the way, you're free to eat bacon, but I wouldn't recommend you eat 9 or 10 pounds of it just because you're free to, amen?
Really?
We'll have to have a defibrillator, you know, moderation and things like that. But what was the purpose? I'll tell you what, swine is one of the easiest ways that bacteria will travel into meat, especially before refrigeration. And listen, God's design was simply through these dietary laws that He wanted His people to lead them in the way of a healthy life. Listen, I'm not up here preaching on kale and green smoothies, amen. If you want to do that, great, amen. Miss Lolly's waving her green smoothie at me, amen. Listen, that's great, but listen to me. God is talking to His people here and leading a healthy life. And I'll tell you what, you can't have a healthy life without this. You're not going to have a consecrated life without this book. Not going to do it, amen. You may hang in there for a while, but you'll be like that stony soil when trouble arises. And then gone. So a healthy life, also God's dietary laws here in Leviticus 11 show the way of a holy life. A holy life. Remember at the end there, God said, be holy for I am holy. And can I remind you, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, how can we be led in the way of a holy life? This book right here. This book. It was Moody who said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And a holy life. And then thirdly, a happy life. A happy life. John 13:17 there, Jesus at the Last Supper said to his disciples, "Happy are ye if you know these things, if you do them." If you do them, amen. And so, God's Word brings consecration. And then, lastly, verse 28, God's Word brings contrast. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me according to thy word." He's given the contrast here. I'm melting for heaviness. I need your strength. And where does that come? The Word of God. The Word of God. Boy, don't you love the Word of God? My heavens, it's so wonderful. Amen. So God's Word brings conviction, confession, consecration, contrast. And so those are the psalmist's realizations. And then we see the psalmist's resolutions in the last three verses. And we'll be done here. Look, if you would, at verse number 30. It says there, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." The first thing we see is he decided to live for God. Listen, our younger folks, our older folks could attest to this. Life, the Christian life, the abundant Christian life is about choices.
Yep. That's
right. What we choose. Our life itself is choices. You're here tonight. You know why you're here tonight? Because you chose to be here. You chose to be here. And this one, he said here, look, if you look at verse 30 again, look at the first part of the verse there. It says, "I have chosen the way of truth." I made that choice. You remember old Joshua, amen? He said, "Hey, if it seem evil to you to serve God, you want to serve the gods that are on the side of the flood, help yourself. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
Made a choice. Choice, amen. And so he decided to live for God. I love that little invitation hymn. "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." He made a choice, okay? Secondly, verse 31, I love this little phrase here. "I have stuck unto thy testimonies." He determined to live for God. He not only decided to live for God, he determined. He said, "God, I'm stuck on your testimonies." Remember that old super glue? Remember super glue? Some of you are like, "Yeah, I used it today, amen." Remember that first commercial for super glue? They take that guy and they put the hard hat on him. And they stick the super glue on top and then put him on the beam. He grabs his hard hat. You just see his legs dangling like that. Amen. Boy, that's the kind of determination we need to have to live for God. See, you know what? I want to be stuck on the Word. Amen. Stuck on the Word. Amen. And by the way, let the Word stick to me. Amen. He determined to live for God. In verse 32, he said, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." He desired to live for God, didn't he? He desired to live for God. He said, "Oh, enlarge my heart." Why? So you can fill it up with more of your word. Amen? So that I could run the way of thy commandments. Well, I'll tell you what. It's such a great... Remember, we started off with grief. He's in grief here. But God gives gleams amid the gloom. Aren't you glad, by the way? No matter how much the gloom... You've seen that. I've seen that. Been driving down the highway. And you see all these black, dark, foreboding clouds. And you just see one sunbeam poke through there. And it's amazing, Brother Horsch, how it'll light up all the back of those black clouds. That sun behind it there. Boy, the Word of God can do that for us. Amen. Father, bless now is our prayer as we dismiss tonight. Lord, perhaps some are going through a valley. May they be ever reminded that you are there for them, that your word is there to comfort them, that other Christians are there. Most of all, God, that you'll take care of them. You'll meet the needs. Pray you'd bless now in our invitation time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page 419, ladies? Page 419.